life is a business plan, if you think about it, whether you apply it to something that's earning a living for you or a career, or it's your personal program, it's still a business plan. And that's what the Fix Yourself Handbook really is. It's a business plan for life. So if that's the case, it should apply well into business. So far, I'm seeing that happen.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky, and I'm with Faust Ruggiero. How are you, Faust?
I'm great, Rick. Thanks for having me aboard.
It's wonderful. Now, we're going to be talking about your wonderful book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, but we're actually going to deep dive into some of the real-life examples of how you can apply the learnings from this book. But what I also like to do, Faust, is to give the My Future Business audience the opportunity to learn a little bit more about you before we jump into your wonderful book. Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience?
Sure. I've been counseling people for about 40 years now. Mm-hmm. Came out of graduate school, worked with deaf people, then substance abuse people. Then I went into a prison and counseled there for 5 years. Started a private practice, individual, family, marriage counseling, and a whole lot of employee assistance programs where I go into business and I help them make some changes that are going to help them be a little bit more efficient in their designs.
Fantastic. And if you do get time away from the workplace, do you have anything that you enjoy doing?
I have a lot of things. I'm an avid sports fan, and I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan. I started an organization for them 26 years ago. We're still up and running. We're worldwide, so I do that. I'm an exercise buff, so I'm working out every day. So I keep myself pretty busy.
Fantastic. And I think that's a really good thing to be doing at the moment. And this is where we're going to be shifting gears, because we're going to be talking about how to understand yourself and remove what doesn't work for you. We're going to learn how to better access your strengths and maximize your potential. But I'm wondering, Faust, if we can talk about some of the current day examples affecting us globally and how people can, I guess, navigate this time. Could you share a little bit about your ideas of where we're at as a world at the moment?
Sure. You know, Rick, the world's been shrinking for a long time. It's a global economy. Now we're seeing this virus just make its way throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And the key to anything, whether you're dealing with the crisis of today, your business, your family, whatever it is, it's all about being a strong person, because we're never going to know what life is going to throw at us. And it's important for us to know about ourselves and be able to maximize our own potentials. Because when these things happen, if we're weak, or if we're just not in touch with what we need to work with ourselves, we're going to have problems with what comes on in our lives.
Yes, absolutely. Now, is this a matter of I guess having a process day to day, you know, especially given that many of us, if not all of us, are suffering this experience where we're very isolated from one another, and we're by nature very social creatures. How do you navigate this space at the moment?
Well, again, I tell people that, you know, we spend a lot of time defining our lives by individuals and by events and things outside of ourselves. And that's fine. We are social beings. But we really have to be strong inside first. So when something like this comes along, all of a sudden we find ourselves isolated. Mm-hmm. Everything's changed. We're not seeing people. And then we hear it all the time. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I can't wait till I get out of the house. And these couple months that we're going to be alone are still moments of our lives ticking by. We want to be able to access our own strengths and then apply them daily. We're always going to be social beings, but we should be able to function without that, at least for short periods of time.
Yes, thank you for that feedback. Inside of your bio, you talk about taking a process approach. Can you share a little bit about what that would mean for an individual trying to start this process for themselves?
Sure. You know, when I talk about processes are things that we use in our lives every day, from the simplest thing like brushing your teeth to starting a business or taking care of something on a global level. There's always a process. And when it comes to ourselves, there are processes that make us just make us run better, make us be more efficient in the way we operate. Yeah. Things like being honest with ourselves, like slowing ourselves down enough to be able to work with our lives, getting our emotions in check and getting our intellects to be able to understand the facts that we need to move forward. So, you know, I teach people those kinds of processes so we can become strong inside. And then when things happen, we use those processes in order to address those situations and people.
Thank you for the feedback. I notice also that you've worked with children all the way through to senior adults. Are there some common threads throughout the different generations that you could talk a little bit about?
Sure. You know, again, we're talking about social people. We're talking about us also being very emotional people. Yes. And I see that from the very young, and I see that right through the progression of life into the elderly years. We have a tendency to want to grab onto things with our emotions. And that's good. I mean, some of the emotions we have are very good, love and happiness and those things. But when we respond emotionally first, we kind of take ourselves out of the intellectual loop, if you will. And then our ability to plan things and to move in directions that are efficient, then that becomes compromised.
Yes, absolutely. Is this about having critical thought, you know, the ability to stop?
It is.
And really think about things?
Yes, it's about being able to look at information and to take that information and be able to move that in the direction of an efficient plan and then to execute that plan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all want to be able to get to that goal, whatever it may be. But in order to do that, we really need to have a plan. And that plan is based upon discernible facts that we can apply. Yeah. So emotions get in the way a little bit. And we want to be able to have our minds be able to take that information apart.
You talked a little bit about information and, you know, how we've, I guess, get access to this information. I wonder how, over the time that you've been experiencing and doing this sort of work, Faust, how technology has changed the way that we take in and process information and how much of it should we discard?
You know, it's funny you asked that. I was talking with someone today and we were talking about the old days. You know, I'm 65, and in the old days when we wanted to access information, if you wanted to go to a book, you'd have to go to a library physically, and you'd have to
imagine
a librarian
that.
And you'd get a card and you went in to find that where the book was in the aisle, and yep. Hopefully it was there. And today you walk into wherever your computer is, you turn it on and you press Google search and you get whatever you want. So the way it's changed is we're moving very, very fast. We see something, we want it, we go get it, and we can access it very quickly. In the, you know, in the generations that preceded us, we had to wait for those things, and we had to develop those processes, and we had to be patient and have a plan to get there. And now everything's so quick that the processes tend to be lost. You know, the ability to know how we acquire things and how to get our plan moving and get to that goal, that often gets lost. So we find the generation now that's a bit lost. They know what they want, but they really have a problem putting together a plan to get there. And that's because they lost the processes involved to make that happen.
So we're talking about this inability to be patient. And if that's the case, Faust, are you working with, I guess, the younger generations to relearn this art of patience?
Yeah, that's what I teach them. The hardest part for the younger generation is to have them slow down a bit. They really do like the accelerated pace. In fact, they'll do things to accelerate the pace of their lives. They like that. They don't sit very well. You know, they're really having a problem with the pandemic. You'll see them often violate the laws that are being thrown at us right now. Getting them to slow down enough to be able to look at the information and then have them look at that and say, okay, I'm willing to slow down and take all the time it needs to get there. That takes some doing with this particular generation.
Do you find that there's a level of receptivity after you've worked with a younger generation for some time? Do they actually turn a corner?
Yes. These are intelligent people.
Yep.
And though they're going fast and they've lost some of the processes, the technology, this information processing that they're able to work with has really accelerated their learning curve. So there's a lot of good stuff there. It's just about getting them to know what to do with it. That's the question.
That's fantastic feedback for everybody who's listening to the show today, Fost. Now, in terms of the mechanics of writing a book, did you find this easy? And if so, what sort of a cross-section of, your population that you work with formed this book? How did that all come about?
Yeah, when you write a book, particularly a self-help book, and what we call a prescriptive self-help book, which means that we're going to give exact steps to do things, It's all about the design. And taking this generation and the way people are learning now, they tend to not want to be involved in long presentations. So it's what I kind of call microwave learning, you know, where we're going real fast. So I made the chapters 3 or 4 pages long.
Yeah.
And I developed one particular topic. I went into the guts of that. Here's all the information about the problem we're going to deal with in this chapter. And then at the end, I went into the exact steps that I was going to use to advise them. Now, that's, I haven't seen that in a self-help book yet. And then I made it so that down the road, they can use it as a reference book. The other thing, the second part of your question was, who can read it, really? Who is the audience demographic? And that's anyone who can read. The book is designed to help a person become more efficient in their general daily life. Therefore, it can be applied to any problem that comes along, and for really for any population, because we all are plagued with the same problems. It's not like certain elements of the population have different problems. For the most part, we all have feelings, and we all feel the same about things that hurt us or make us feel good. So anyone who can read can apply the principles of the book.
Thanks, Fost. Now, I wonder, I always like to go back and give context to your specific journey. I wonder, that moment in time, the genesis of this book, when did you recognize that you needed to write this book? What was happening at that time?
Well, you know, it's really a culmination of everything I've been through. My life changed quite a bit when I began to work with the prison population. Are people whose freedom has been taken from them, but they have to internally, intellectually and emotionally become creative enough to survive. And I saw life from a different perspective there. So then into my private practice and with a number of different populations, I started to see again that everyone was working with the same types of feelings and the same pains. And as you work through this, and I started to work with processes with these people, then I started to see that my program was actually developing itself. I was using all these particular processes to help people. That's when I started to say, you know, I really need to formalize this approach and then be able to teach it. And then somewhere along the line, be able to put it into a text where I, you know, that can be distributed and people can take that home and then reinforce them, what we're teaching with that.
Because it goes from, a one-to-one scenario, Fost, to a one-to-many scenario with a book. Now, I'm wondering if you can share some of your real life examples of, I guess, transformations for those, you know, you talked about those who are incarcerated, and they would have, I presumably, quite a challenge in front of them to reset their mind to be able to cope with that type of environment. What are some other really, prevalent experience that you've had with your work with people that you've worked with?
Oh, there's so many. Life changes, divorce, people passing away that are very important to us, PTSD, people who have been discriminated against, life transitions. There's so many different populations that I've worked with. I've had people that have been victimized, so we need to empower people. And that's really what the book is all about. Take whatever situation happened in your life and let's bring you through that and then give you the strength and the tools to not only survive it, but to thrive in your life.
Yeah. So when people are looking at this book, this wonderful Fix Yourself handbook, given that we are all at different stages of our life's journey, is it possible for somebody, you know, person A versus person B to pick this book up and read it from cover to cover and get the same or a similar outcome?
Absolutely. That again is part of the book's initial design, because and it's a very good question, because you know, people come into counseling at all different places in their lives. Some, you might get them at 12 years old. I may get them at 60 years old. But again, the processes all apply at any time in our lives. So we can, at any time we're willing to look at those, we can start, we can begin the process of applying them in our lives. And we start with basic, simple. Now, the first process is to make the decision to take your life off autopilot, if you will, to say, I'm going to make some changes. And then we get into getting honest with ourselves and getting our intellect into the game. And that can happen at any point. It just means it's introduced a little bit differently at the various stages and for the different populations.
You know, you talked about, I guess, stopping and assessing your current situation and, I guess, looking within yourself, the way you think about yourself and the world that you exist in. Is there type of a, like, sort of a checklist approach in this book? How do people start to do that if they're not working with you directly and they just have access to the book?
Now, see, the book was outlined with that in mind. Right. There are 52 processes which are outlined in the book. Mm-hmm. And the book, as opposed to being 6 or 10 chapters, we see a lot of self-help books, is 36 chapters, short chapters. So when they get in, they can apply what I'm doing, because I wrote it to simulate a counseling experience. That's the other part of the book. You know, because I asked that question to myself, okay, well, you know, I'm teaching this one-on-one. I can field questions as they're occurring. But what I did is I wrote those right into the book. And one person reviewed it said, if you're not going to counseling, pick up this book, because this is like going to counseling in your living room.
Yes, I've seen some of the reviews and they're quite positive. Now, if I've read the book, not having read the book, if I come back to it, can I just pick it up, you know, piecemeal and take a bit here and a bit there that's relevant for me?
Absolutely. That was, again, something I wanted. I want it to be a reference book. So let's say, you're 2 or 3 years removed from the book and you're having a difficult time confronting someone. There's a chapter on that and how to get back in the game and have a warm confrontation without an explosion. And they can go right to that chapter. That's what it's essentially called. They'll go right back, read 3 or 4 pages, go right to the actionable steps at the end and say, okay, that's the piece I forgot. And just refresh yourself. That's another part of the book that I wanted to be to make very easy for people to do.
That's wonderful. I wonder, is this a living, breathing document? Is this something that you're going to do new editions on? How is that coming along?
You know, you're the first one that asked that question. And yes, the Fix Yourself Handbook 2 is already in development.
Fantastic.
And what we want to do is take it from the end of the first book and then really go through every chapter again, but now at the next stage of life. It's sort of like if you took a diet plan and you said, gee, I lost all the weight. But we know what happens when you stop the plan.
Yeah.
So now you're looking to do this at a higher level, you know, and deal with all the challenges that come there. So when we do the Fix Yourself Handbook 2, the journey continues. That's what we're going to be doing, taking those gains you made and teaching you how to apply them down the road when you thought maybe you already had what you needed, but it starts showing itself again.
Yes, this is wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing everything with us today, Foss. Now, we've talked about more personal life type experiences. Now, the My Future Business audience are predominantly startup entrepreneurs and small to medium-sized business owners, Foss. And I wonder what level of value from a professional perspective they can take away from this wonderful handbook.
You know, I started using this book, Rick, in my employee assistance programs. And again, that's part of my business, where I go into business and I teach them how to apply some principles that are going to help them be a little bit more efficient. And what I'm finding is that they're taking this book now and they're using it in their personal meetings, and they're taking principles at a time. Fact finding, communication principles, confrontation principles, setting boundaries in the business. And what they're doing, they're weaving it into their business plans. So when they decide that they're going to do something, they say, okay, if we're going to do this, well, we need to be honest about this. And I tell them how to do that. So I'm really taking all the chapters of the book and applying it to a business approach. And what I'm finding now is that the human resources departments and all, and the R&D departments, they're picking this up and they're actually doing it themselves. They've changed it a bit from what I wrote, but they're applying it to a business sense, which is great because, you know, we don't want it to be stagnant and only apply to one type of population, someone who has some personal concerns. If we can get it out into the business world, if we can get it out into the world with young people, you know, it just makes the approach more generalized, and it's feedback for me. So when I'm making changes to make it better, I get that information.
Yeah, there's certainly some commonalities between all of us, no matter where we are, what age brackets we are. We have some typical things that we all need, don't we?
You know, Rick, life is a business plan, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Whether you apply it to something that's earning a living for you or a career, or it's your personal program, it's still a business plan. And that's what the Fix Yourself Handbook really is. It's a business plan for life. So if that's the case, it should apply well into business. So far, I'm seeing that happen.
Yeah. So I wonder, Faust, with those that are in that professional sphere, do they cherry pick certain topics over others inside the book?
Yeah. And everyone really does. You know, certain chapters are going to apply to certain people a little bit better than others. And again, you know, they love the communication aspects of the book. They love to be able to learn how to deal with their intellects, because they know that emotionally, you know, they can react, and that gets in the way of a good plan.
Yeah.
And you know, so you anything that has to do with good planning, time management, energy management, you know, where I tell them that if something should take you 5% of your day and you spend 15% of your day on it, you've really minimized your ability to move forward. So, you know, the book teaches those types of things. Manage your time properly. It gives people, I have one chapter in there which is designed specifically to goal setting, and they're using that a lot.
Yeah.
As they set up, I teach them how to set up goal grids and action plans to get there. That's also in the book.
I often think about the people behind the books, the authors, and their life's experience, their own personal journey as they're writing this book. Faust, so for you, what is the one chapter or the one key principle that rattles around in your mind the most for you personally?
There are actually two. It's brutal honesty is what I call it, and intellect over emotion. You know, and I always liken the brutal honesty to peeling an onion. You know, when you get the first layer off, you feel like you did something, but it's not usable.
Yeah.
We cast that off. You go deeper and you start to, you know, it starts to react. You know, your eyes water and you feel all those side effects.
Yep.
And the deeper you go, the more that occurs. And that's where you're getting to the guts of the onion. Well, same thing with honesty. Honesty, when we're going there initially, will make us feel a little uncomfortable. If we're willing to push past that, we learn about ourselves. So I like that for me. And then if you can be honest, then when you go into your emotions, you're able to say, okay, I need to put this apart because these are the facts, and I have to arrange those facts in a proper order so I get the information I need to move forward. So brutal honesty and intellect over emotion, those are my chapters, and I really guide my life by them.
Yep, thank you very much for sharing that insight. I know that we, as human beings, we are very dynamic creatures. What was relevant today is not going to be relevant tomorrow. Do you find that the people that you work with, as a result of reading this book, will actually contact you to ask questions about their shifts in thought and feelings and all those types of things?
They do. They will ask questions. Not only when they get stuck, you know, some of the people, the book is so practical that people will come back and they'll say, you know, I always thought about this. I just didn't know how to put it in practice because I didn't write this book to bring up some new philosophy. I mean, they're out there all the time and you know where those go.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do is take just the practical things that we deal with every day and put that into a program. So if it's practical, if it's what people are thinking about, just didn't know how to do that, and I gave them a plan, or they come back and say, wow, finally, these things I needed, they're there for me, and they're the steps to make them happen.
Now, I always like to talk about the process of authoring a book, because many of us would love to write a book, but oftentimes we get stuck because, again, our own, I guess, our belief systems, our fears about writing a book that maybe people won't enjoy. What was the journey like for you?
Well, I thought about those same things. When I looked at writing the book years ago, I had all those same fears. I'm gonna expose, what's inside me, and maybe I'm gonna do a good job, maybe I won't. Publishers may say wonderful, they may shoot me down, and I've got 3 or 4 years wasted or whatever I thought. Mm-hmm. But what I did, I knew what I wanted to write, and most authors do. But then I took a year and I just got into the business and learned all about the publishing business. So, it's actually, you're talking about business people listening to this. That's the first thing I did is I'm asking for access into a business world. Yeah. So before I go into it, it would make sense if I would learn all about it. So I took that year and did all of that. Then, I talked to people. I took advice from people. Some things I knew, they were pretty practical. The other things were, just things I looked at and said, my God, I've got to do this. Yeah. But once you get them out of the way, then that fear, the fear dissipates because you now understand the business, and it changed the way I wrote.
This, you talk about talking with people, and there's that part. And another thing you've just touched on, Faust, is, knowing what your audience really wants. Is that an ongoing research component for this book? I presume that it was.
Two components to that, Rich. The first one, is you're going to keep talking to people, so you're going to get feedback. But just as you said before, we're dynamic creatures, which means that the teacher here continues to learn.
Yeah.
And because if I stop learning, then and I learn not only about them, learning about myself, because I've got to make the changes as I'm going too. Otherwise, they're going to get to the point where they're going to say, well, I did this, but he doesn't know it. Yeah. And, then I'm not so credible. So you're changing with your audience constantly. So as I wrote this book, and I'm talking to people, I'm talking to you tonight, other people, people I'm counseling, because I'm still doing that. I'm learning about me, and I'm learning how, and me in this whole writing and marketing all of this, I'm learning about me all over again. So then I put that back into play. I put that back into the pot, and we start all over with that part of things.
Yeah. Do you find yourself being approached to provide talks?
All the time. I'm doing a podcast with you tonight, which is my second of the day. The talks have slowed down a bit because everyone's home now.
Of course.
And we're doing a lot of these. I did a couple television interviews. But yeah, they're coming through now probably 2 or 3 a week. And that's happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's really taken off.
Fantastic. Where are people actually, can they get this book? Can they get it electronically? Can they get it online? Yes. What sort of delivery?
Yes. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can have it delivered as a paperback, or if you prefer an ebook, both of them have it there, and they'll send it directly to your home.
Fantastic. And your website, is that at faustregero.com?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Now, I've seen your website. There is a lot of content. I was wondering if you can just share with the My Future Business audience, Faust, what they're going to find when they get there.
Well, the website is a little bit about myself, so they understand who the person is that's presenting all this information. Then we go into basically everything about the book. You'll find everything from what the book's all about. I threw a whole chapter outline so they can see all 36 chapters, and there's a nice big paragraph about each one so they can see what this book is all about. You don't usually see that. I thought, if I'm going to be honest about this, let's put it out there and let them see what's in there. If they'd like to buy it, that's a real nice way to see things. My podcast is on there. There's a video series on there. There's excerpts from the book. There's quotes. There's just a ton of information so they can get a real good feel, not only for how the book is written, but the person that's teaching all of this too.
Now, that's wonderful feedback for everybody who's on the show today. Faust and his links will be made available below this post. No matter where you find this interview, you will find the links back to faustregero.com. Faust, it's been such a wonderful treat spending some time with you on the My Future Business Show today.
And I feel the same. Thanks for having me aboard.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.